Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because today we have a very special guest, and her name is, I hope I pronounce this correctly, Benshavin, known as Big Benji, and like Nancy, N. Shale, S-H-A-L-E, Benshavin, Big Benji, N. Shale. She's the author of My American Dream. This is a success story of a immigrant who came to America legally, and she reached the American Dream. So you will not want to miss her memoir and how she was born in Thailand and blossomed in the United States of America. Born in Thailand, blossomed in the USA. And so it's interesting to me how so many immigrants come to America. They fall in love with America. They work hard, and they come here legally, and they strive to reach the American dream and fall in love with America, when we have so many illegal immigrants and radicals in our country who don't like our country, our way of life, and our laws and our sovereignty, and Americans who are born on our soil who don't love our country, our U.S. flag, our national anthem, our traditions, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, and just the American way of life, and the great opportunity to earn as much money as you want in America if you do the right steps and take action. Not everyone who is a billionaire or a millionaire or, let's just say, successful has a college degree, a master's, a PhD. They were able to be born on U.S. soil and or come into the USA legally and still work hard, learn skills, and continue to be motivated and take action every day to become successful business owners. And that is possible as long as there is freedom, liberty, rights, sovereignty, and babies being born as natural-born Americans in order to preserve the Constitution of the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, United States history, who are loyal to their family, to their country, to God, and understand why it's so important for sovereignty and not open borders. Because when we have open borders, we have unidentified people in our country. And when we have unidentified people in our country, that creates a problem for the American people. because we don't know who our neighbors are and who is loyal or not loyal. So legal immigration, everyone welcomes immigrants into our country, and we want them to succeed, and we want to get to know them and to hear their stories and about their countries where they were born and their cultures, and see how much we can embrace the rest of the world and also bring peace and freedom to the rest of the world. Because communism is not the answer. And communism is a serious problem right now in America and for Europe and Canada and many other countries. Americans don't flee to communist nations. Immigrants from communist nations flee to America. And so we want to keep it that way so they have a refuge to come to if there is a serious tyrannical problem in their nation, and they can wait in line, wait their turn, and go through our legal, constitutional, federal, and state laws. And they can also be whatever they want upon legal entry and pledging their allegiance to the United States of America. And these are the people who assimilate and make America a better place to live for future generations, not just today's generations. We have to think about the future. So on that note, let's introduce our wonderful guest, Benshaven Big Benji N. Shell, that's S-H-A-L-E, My American Dream, born in Thailand, blossomed in the United States of America, blossomed in the USA. And so we're going to ask her about her poem and also about her story. And it is a true story and a memoir. So you won't want to miss this as soon as we come back from our very important break.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. It is a landmark. It's almost 100 years old. It's super popular at a crossroads to going to Tucson, Phoenix, Arizona, in Arizona, Sierra Vista, Tombstone, just about anywhere. People come from all over just to eat that home cooking and those wonderful homemade pies and other desserts as well. So be sure to stop there, especially if you're a hungry trucker, because Americans love our truckers. And keep up the good work for America and freedom. And now I'm going to introduce you to our wonderful guest. And I'm going to call her Big Benji, and she's going to pronounce her Thailand name correctly. And her book is My American Dream, Born in Thailand, Blossomed in the USA. But how many people know where Thailand is? Well, Thailand is an Asian country located in the southeast region of the continent, now known as Thailand, or the Kingdom of Thailand. The country was once upon a time referred to as Siam. Remember the good old movies about the King of Siam? We love those movies, right? And its capital is Bangkok. Its currency is Thailand Baht, B-A-H-T. And it has about 70 million people. So it says it's also historically known as Siam, officially the Kingdom of Thailand, in another article, and is a country in Southeast Asia. So now we get the picture of where our wonderful guest, Big Benji, is from, so we can move on and say hello to our wonderful guest and author. Hi, Big Benji. How are you today? And welcome.
I'm fine, darling. Thank you for having me on your show. You know, cannot wait to show Thailand to around the world how great country Thailand used to be and now, you know, all, you know, progress with all technologies and things. You know, I have lived in America almost 54 years, but I never forget my beloved birth country. See, I have a dream. I have a dream. It's my American dream. I have searched far and wide, over land and sea, to the land of my dream, the United States of America, where I found love. I have been loved in return. May God bless America, my home sweet home.
Well, that is beautiful, and that is a poem and by Big Benji. I'm going to call you Big Benji. And
yes,
it's in
darling,
the introduction,
yes.
So you will have a copy of it when you purchase her book. And so, Big Benji, tell us how to pronounce your name correctly, the Thailand way.
You know, it's Benjovan.
That's very beautiful. Benjovan. Very good.
Yes,
and
it means five beauties.
Oh.
Kind-hearted,
wow.
Intelligent, good look, beautiful skin, and with beautiful heart for everybody, darling. That's what I have. It's my dream to bring love and peace to the world. So, Mrs. Colombo, I would love to hold hands with you to bring love and peace to the world. The world needs love now. Don't you think so, darling?
I definitely promote love into the universe and good thoughts and positive thoughts. And the more people that meditate and pray and think good thoughts and do acts of kindness towards other people every single day, whether it's a smile, which is free to make someone feel better, or make them laugh, I think is very important today because there's too much doom and gloom in the world, and we need to reverse that so that people come together and unite in peace. And
that's why I was on America's Got Talent 2017, where I brought life, laugh, and love to the audience. They all love me. They couldn't pronounce my name, so they asked me, what should they call me? You know, I said, call me Big Benji. Why do we call you Big Benji? I told them at America's Got Talent, because my heart is bigger than my body. I became Big Benji, darling, around the world. And, you know, my dream is to bring love and peace to the world. I hope that my book will do well. You know, I was recommended, you know, suggested, you know, from Mr. Jack Harris, the president of Worldwide Entertainment Corporation. I call him Uncle Jack. He's, you know, the family friend, you know, old-time family friend. He told me that, Benji, your life story, your memoir would help the young generation in America to learn to be like you. You never stop. You want to love people. You want to show love and things. You know, that's what Uncle Jack told me, to write the memoir of my life story, you know. And he said that, you know, it's just like a memoir of geisha for Japanese, Miss Saigon for Vietnamese and Joy Luck Club for Chinese, and I will be for Thailand. I would love, you know what, darling, that the people will learn from my book. The young generation will be inspired by me to have the American dream. When you dream big. The one who doesn't have any dream will never achieve anything in life. I learned
since I was 16
from the teacher. Our English teacher taught us, you know, what in the class, to have the big dream. That's what she said. When you don't have any dream, you never achieve anything. This is my dream, darling. And I dream to come to America since I was 10
years
old.
And here you are.
And
here you are.
You
so
know,
let's talk about one of the dreams that came true, which is America Got Talent. How did you decide to go on America's Got Talent? And of course, your video from America's Got Talent went viral on YouTube, and people began to recognize you when you went out into the public. What was it that made you decide? Because you're a singer. Was it to put your voice out into the world and bring that joy to the world through your talent of singing? Was that one of them?
You know I woke up from lumpectomy surgery in May 2012. I said to myself, Benjawan, you have lived long enough. It's time for you to give back to your beloved birth country and to your beloved adopted country, the United States of America. That's why when I watched America's Got Talent, I saw a man, 85 years old, Big Barry. He make people laugh with happiness. I said, Benjawan, you can do that too. So I applied for many years, you know, finally they got me on the big stage. Everybody loved Big Benji on America's Got Talent. And I'm going to audition again this year to bring love and peace on the stage. That's what I told them. You know, I emailed with the producer. I said that I'm going to sing the song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, on the big stage of America's Got Talent to commemorate to all the soldiers around the world who give their life to their beloved countries. That's what Big Benji's dream now, darling, to bring love and peace to the world. So that's what, you know, my big dream. So I hope that America's Got Talent will put me on the big stage again so I can make people live with laugh and love like I did before. The people recognize me on the street, you know, that's so great, you know. Yes, you know, and with the support from you, Mrs. Colombo, I know that I will be successful with love and peace for sure. You know, you know my book.
Thank you.
Yes, darling. You know, could you believe that I came to America with $1,200 in my handbag to further my education?
Before we get to that, tell us about your childhood and your father and your mother in Thailand.
Okay. My father raised me as the boy of the family, because you know what, in Thailand they want to have boy in the family to carry the last name. Unfortunately, my father could not produce any boy, okay, all girls, you know. Yeah, and then you know what, he raised me as a boy. So it's the greatest thing that he raised me that way. I go to school, I dress as a girl. I come home, I dress as a boy, and I have freedom that Thai girls at that time don't have. But I have, darling, you know what, I play with the boy, riding on the water buffalo, swimming in the canal, playing with the snake in the canal. I roam around the rice field and things that all girls don't have that opportunity like I did. I enjoy my life so much. My father taught me, you know, what this way that, you know, I can turn myself around to be the boy or the girl. It doesn't matter, you know. And I take responsibility of the family. Like at 10 years old, he sent me to collect the rent from our tenant, and I could do it. That's what my father said. If you were born a boy, there will be nothing that you cannot achieve. But I achieve everything of my dream, darling. You know, it's just so wonderful.
You didn't just go collect the rent. You actually had to leave your family dressed as a boy, get on a train, talk like a boy, act like a boy, and hopefully not to speak to anyone, according to your father's instructions. And then you were to go to your family that was quite a distance away, all alone at 10 years old, very dangerous. You end up, your family was there for you, who collected the rent for you. Then you had to take that money attached in a belt, correctly, that was hidden from the public, and take the train back alone and hope that your family was there so you could get back home as well. That was not a simple thing that you were doing. It was actually a dangerous thing you were doing, because you could have been robbed, you could have been killed, you could have been raped. A lot of things could have happened to you. Or you could have been, your parents could have been shamed as well for finding out that they were allowing you to be dressed up as a boy and act as a boy in your country, right?
Yeah, my mother didn't want me to do that, but my father, he wanted to build me strong and with power, you know, with things like that. You see, you know, and, you know, at 7 years old, my teacher said, I have such a good voice, I should be a singer. My father said, not a singer, you're going to be a doctor to save lives. That's what he dreamed of, that, for me to be a doctor. But I realized that, you know what, I love English, I love history. I sat down with him and said, Father, I don't think I can be a doctor for you. And he said, what do you want to be then? I said, I love English and I love history. That's why, you know what, I said, maybe I can be a professor teaching English and history in the university. He said, let's do that. You know what, girls at my generation, you know, parents don't usually, you know what, give them education. But my father was different than the others. He sent four of us, you know, our sisters. We went to private school. I learned English since I was 7 years old. And that's why, you know what, when my adopted father figure, actor Jerome Cowan, whom I met when I came to school in America, he asked me, sweetheart, how did you learn to speak English so well? I said, Daddy, when I was 17, I discovered Mr. Nat King Cole. The teacher in Thailand said, if you want to speak English well, you must listen to American songs and learn the lyrics. And I, you know what, discovered Mr. Nat King Cole. I still pray for him. And his daughter walked into my life, Natalie Cole. Could you believe that, darling? This is God doing. You know, God want me to do that. Natalie Cole has left me her legacy of love and peace to carry on. So every night I promise her, Natalie, as long as I live, your legacy of love and peace will never be forgotten. That's why this is my dream now. She was so happy. I even named my daughter after her, Natalie. We own Natalie Thai cuisine. We own Melanie Thai cuisine. I came to America with $1,200 in my handbag. And we own jewelry store. I have been in jewelry business. My husband.
I understand all that, but hold on a second. Hold on a second, Big Benji. Before you get into all that, we're still in Thailand. So when you're in Thailand, you had to take other jobs eventually. Did you not? And then, in or like with the restaurants or the airlines,
and you were a teenager and then a young woman. So, but your goal was always to go to college, like go to a university, get your degree. So before you came to America, what was happening with your jobs? What kind of jobs were you taking? Were you saving enough money? Who's Mr. Williams? How did you meet him?
Mr. Williams, you know, it's the last year of the, high school. I went to the Thai temple with my friends. Five of us were there at the Thai temple, the temple of Emerald Buddha, to pray for God to bless me to pass the test well. And there I met Mr. Williams, who was the tourist on that day. He was sitting on the floor listening to the tour guide to tell him about the history of the Emerald Buddha. And my friend, suddenly, she saw her cousin was there too. So we ran there to meet, Mr. Williams. The first thing Mr. Williams looked at me, he reached his wallet and gave me 100 baht for my ice cream. And he said that you have the biggest smile of all of your friends. I love to have you as my daughter. I was shyly speaking English for the first time of my life. I can love you as my father. And that's what he became, my godfather. Without him,
wow,
I would never be who I am now. The book will tell everything, how he helped me with my education. When my father came down with the problem with the government, when he doesn't want to smuggling the opium for the dignitary in Thailand, they arrested my father, give him the big lesson, put him in prison, and that's when I take care of the whole family, when my father was in prison. And Mr. Williams keeps sending me money. I told him I want to come to America. I want to learn English well. He sent me to the English class at AUA Language Center, where I learned to speak English. It's Mr. Williams who make me my benefactor, my mentor, who make me to become Benjawan, Big Benji on America's Got Talent. And it's my adopted father, actor Jerome Cowan. It's the same thing, darling. When he saw me, we met in 30 minutes. We adopt each other, to be a father and a daughter. When I told, what actor Jerome Cowan, my daddy, what happened to my father, he taught me the greatest thing in life. He said when the person wants his power, they would do anything and everything to achieve his power. It's just like you climbing Mount Everest. You glue your eyes on the top of the Mount Everest to be successful. That's what he taught me. I glue my eyes on Mount Everest. I have been climbing the Mount Everest for my success. And so far, America has let me, she has let me be successful woman in America for whatever I dream of. Look at this, darling. I get to talk with you on the radio by the help of,
yes,
Mr. Zucker. Mr. Zucker is like Mr. Williams to me. That's what I feel, that he's my Mr. Williams. People would love my book. Don't you think so, darling?
Erwin Zucker is the president of the Book Publicists of Southern California. He's public relations, and he is a seasoned, longtime expert on helping people get their information out through publishing and books. And he's fantastic. Everybody knows Erwin. Everybody loves Erwin. Like the TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond. Well, everybody loves Erwin.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
I love him so much. And God was with me that night. I show up at the publishing event, and I met him there. I feel that he is my benefactor, like Mr. Williams. He's going to make my book successful. you know, and the people will see Big Benji to inspire the young generation and the immigrant who came to America to have the American dream. America is the land of opportunity. If you have the dream, you can achieve it. Nobody can stop you, darling, you know. That's what I feel. That's why Uncle Jack, Mr. Jack Harris, who made the movie The Blob, he was the one that discovered Steve McQueen. You know, he told me, write your life story, Benji. You will be great role model to all the children, you know, in America and in the world. So, darling, I never thank you enough to put me on your radio to express my love to America. I love you, Mrs. Colombo. I love Mr. Zucker with all my heart. He is my other benefactor. He's going to make it big time. I am sure
of that.
Well,
you are an amazing person. And I wanted to mention that your adopted father, Jerome Cowan, he made 217 movies and TV shows and Broadway plays. So he's very recognizable in the classic movies when I watch them. And my children and my grandchildren, I have them watch those old classics. They love them. And then you also met the mother of Steven Spielberg and became friends with her, right?
That's right, darling. You know, she and I, she's so wonderful woman. I keep the story about she was so kind to me. One day when my husband was in Cedar Sinai for heart surgery, I was, you know, she didn't see me for quite a while because I was busy with the restaurant, Melanie Thai Cuisine, and the jewelry business, and the children ice skating, you know, and, you know, so I didn't go to Milky Way for a while. I was using the public phone. She was walking with two of her, you know, what, a bodyguard and the driver. She looked at me and she said, oh, my gosh, I haven't seen you for a while. She recognized me just like that, darling, you know. And why don't you come to Milky Way for your cheese blintzes anymore? So I told her I was busy. And she asked me, why are you here today? I said, my husband having a heart surgery. And, you know, I'm calling his father to tell him that. And, you know, she saw me that I need some coins. She gave me the whole coin, okay, you know, to call the people, to tell the people. This is how kind woman Mrs. Leah Spielberg Adler. She is my American idol. All my life, I will never forget her kindness to me. And she recognized me like that. She even remembered my favorite dish at her restaurant. So when I asked her, I start going back to her restaurant again. And, you know, we love each other. We hug, we kiss each other every time I go there. And then, you know what, darling? When I asked her to endorse my book, she said, I'd love to do that. She allowed me. Can you believe that? The mother of Steven Spielberg and Nancy Spielberg endorsed my book, darling.
I think that's fantastic, and it's wonderful. And nothing's by coincidence. Everything's by our actions and by God and what's meant
by
to
God,
be.
Darling.
But
that's
people also, like you, take action. You don't just think, dream it. You have to take action like you've done since you were a child, and you were very adventurous and brave for your father and your family.
Yes.
And so,
I'm grateful to him. Yeah.
What happened to your father? Did he get out of prison?
Yes, you know, my mother went to the parliament building in front of all of the, you know, media there and the people there. You know, she ran in front of the limousine of the Prime Minister of Thailand, you know, protest that. Free my husband. He has done nothing wrong. He's very honest person. and things like that. So within a week, they released my father. So, you know, we were so happy to have our father home again. And he became the Buddhist monk later to find his happiness in life. And you know what? Before he passed away, before he lost his mental, you know, he became Alzheimer's. He said to me, I went to Thailand to visit. He said, he called me Tom. That's my Thai nickname, you know. And he said, I'm very proud of you. You have success, everything, succeed at everything in your life. Father is very proud of you. I never forget my father, darling, you know. To be a boy, I was the closest daughter to him. He and I have conversation all the time. And he taught me to be a good person. And he said, when you are a good person, Lord Buddha will be with you. And see, darling, I believe in him. That's why God is always with me. Let me meet Mr. Williams, Fred Williams Jr. Let me meet actor Jerome Cowan. And now I have Mr. Irwin Zucker with me to help me, my second Mr. Williams. See, darling, God is with me. My third book is going to be Love and Peace, The Power
and
of
when you
God,
came,
The Strength
and when
of
you
Love.
Came to,
that's what I'm working
and when you,
on it now.
And when you came to America, you were afraid that Mr. Williams, you wouldn't be able to speak to him when you finally arrived. And so you actually called him and left him a message. And he returned your call, and he was very happy to hear from you, correct?
Yes, yes, you know, and he even came by, you know, when I was working at the Transworld Airline, you know, as a cashier hostess in coffee shop, you know, he came and visited me there, you know, and he traveled first class, of course, you know, on Transworld Airline. That is where I met my first husband. Because I work as a you know, cashier hostess, you know, that's my job with Thai International Airline in Thailand, allow me to get a job in America. And could you believe, darling, you know what, my first job of my life, it was switchboard operator at Trocadero Hotel. I only made $30 a month. I worked with them for 3 months. And then they didn't want to give me a raise, you know, a dollar a day, that's not enough. If Mr. Williams didn't give me money, I would never last 3 months in that hotel. I got a job with Thai International Airlines, working in their coffee shop and become cashier hostess. And this job helped me, these two jobs helped me to be successful in America. My first job with $30 a month. Allow me to meet the people from Hollywood Squares. My first husband, you know, who dating with me at that time, sent me to interview the job with Robert Scott and Company, the stock brokerage firm. I worked for them as a switchboard operator. Can you believe that, darling? From $30 a month, I learned to use a switchboard. And God give me this job because I can earn the money in America. This is what God doing.
Well, one of the things that, one of the things about the American dream is people think that, many people think they're going to come here and their dreams are going to be fulfilled from foreign nations. And the wise people realize that it doesn't just come as a dream. It takes action and effort and connections. And sometimes, like you, you meet a godmother or a godfather, which is very rare, someone who's wealthy and has a good heart and sees potential in someone who's working to make themselves better and to learn English or whatever their goal is. And they become what they call in America the big brother, the big sister, the mentor to not just immigrants, but to American kids too, which was more popular
until the 2000s. So I think that's an excellent point that you did have good American, wealthy, successful business people who were willing to see someone else's potential and see their heart and their mind and help them, whether it's through mentoring or helping them financially. Called a hand up, not a hand out, when people are trying to help themselves and taking the steps to get to the American dream. And so, Big Benji, I think you're fantastic. I think that your book should be read by everyone, especially people who are immigrants and Americans who are on the fence about immigrants, and also to put a positive message out there that not just immigrants but anybody can reach their American
That's
dream.
That's right.
And so I
as
really
long
want
as,
to thank,
yeah, as long as you have the belief in yourself, work hard, trust in God, there is nothing to fear but fear itself, darling. That's what me. That's who I am. That is Big Benji for you. Uh-huh. So
I believe that your book will be very successful. Your novel, actually, it's a memoir. And now is your time to shine, because Big Benji says, dream big, because the one who has no dream will not achieve anything in life. And again, her book is My American Dream, Born in Thailand, Blossomed in the USA. So Big Benji, do you have a website you can leave with our audience? And can you tell our audience where they can purchase your wonderful book?
Oh, okay, darling. It's available Kindle and paperback, available on Amazon.com.
Fantastic. And do you have a website online?
I have I have the advertising on the Facebook, a lot. If you look on my Facebook, you will see it. I advertise, and I have on my YouTube, Big Benji on America, Big Benji, My American Dream, Born in Thailand, Blossom in the USA. That's my advertising on YouTube. And I have, my YouTube, a lot of YouTube on Benjawan Shale, and also Big Benji on America's Got Talent 2017. And, they can reach me on my email, bshale63@yahoo.com. Yes, that's what all I have. Yeah, I'm very not very smart with that. Yeah, that's all I have. But people can look me up, darling. Yeah, so I never thank you enough. You are so kind to have me to express my love of America. Everyone can make it. America, listen to Big Benji. Your children can make it big time. Every dream can come true when you dream big. The one who doesn't have any dream will never achieve anything in life. Have the big dream, darling, and love each other. Our world needs love now. Life, laugh, and love together. I love
Excellent.
You, Mrs. Colombo. And thank you,
thank you
very, very
I
much
love you
to
too,
put
Big
me
Benji.
On radio. And
oh,
I want to
so
thank
welcome.
Mr. Irwin Zucker with all my heart to introduce me to you.
He's a great guy. Absolutely. Everybody loves Irwin. And everyone loves Big Benji. And everyone's going to go out and get your memoirs, My American Dream, Born in Thailand, Blossomed in the USA. So it will help them not give up, and will help them reach their American dream. Thank you so much, and God bless you, Big Benji, and hope to talk to you in the future. Bye.
Thank you, darling. I would love to talk to you again. Goodbye, darling. Have a good day. Love you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And remember, it's my American dream, born in Thailand, blossomed in the USA. Her name, Benchavan, B like boy, E-N-C-H-A-V-A-N, Big Benji, N, period, Shell, S-H-A-L-E. You will love her memoir. It is very empowering and enlightening. And Big Benji has left the building. And on that note, this is Columbo Chronicles saying we're going to take a break, and we will be right back in just a moment with the issues of the day.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. And now I'm going to talk about some BLM activists' support from others by USA Today. Biden fund the police. Comment draws backlash from some BLM activists' support from others. And as we watch Putin, extremely wealthy, have you ever seen his mansion on a private acres and acres of land, underground, above ground, soccer field, everything you can imagine. The Russian dream. That's the Russian dream, but only one man has it. Well, he's sending bombs into the Ukraine, destroying the lives of innocent people who have nothing to do with the government decisions on whether or not to attack a nation, but Russia wasn't attacked. But these people are being attacked. Their homes burned down to the ground to ashes, people dying, people being injured, losing everything, losing family members, losing their income, losing their businesses. Why? What's his point? What's his purpose? What does he have to gain by destroying the lives of innocent people? It is not forgivable. An apology doesn't undo what is being done in that country right now. In fact, it's unforgivable what CDC and Dr. Fauci and the Democrats did to America by locking us down for about a year and allowing BLM to burn down cities and destroy homes and property and businesses and party in the streets and herd during a so-called pandemic, who had no curfews, who were lawless, who could loot the buildings. And they looked like war zones in those cities, and these were innocent people who had nothing to do with anything related to race or the incident with George Floyd, had nothing to do with it.
But yet, the mainstream media, Facebook, Twitter, and the government, the Democrat government, and rhinos knelt down to BLM, who also injured and killed civilians and police, and called it a peaceful protest. But yet, they are adamant about the J6 incident and persecuting anyone who even knew anything about or anything before the J6 incident happened. This country is out of control. Russia is out of control. Europe is out of control. Canada's leaders are all out of control. They've all lost their way. They've all become extremely wealthy. They've all made their families wealthy. And the only people who suffer are the general population who pays their wages. And despite their wealth, they still take taxpayer-funded wages, health care insurance, quirks, benefits, make secret deals with foreign countries for profit or favors or whatever. They live in mansions. They're buying up islands, building more mansions on islands, underground, above ground, jetting about. Well, good for them. But they don't need to depopulate the planet. They don't need to start wars, which is depopulation. They don't need to change girls into boys and boys into girls, which is depopulation. They don't need to create transhumans and turn them into cyborgs and slaves. They don't need to force innocent people who are healthy or not healthy to be used as human lab rats for big pharma and their investors to make billions of dollars with no liability, no matter how many people die or are injured. The whole world involved in this globalist agenda has gone totally off the rails. So President Joe Biden earned some bipartisan applause for declaring fund the police during his State of the Union address Tuesday night, but got mixed reactions from activists and politicians. So that's why I mentioned BLM, because during that entire time, Biden and Harris and Booker and Klobuchar and Maxine Waters and all the rest of the Democrats, Pelosi, Schumer, were kneeling down to people who were burning down Rome in America and destroying the lives of innocent people and terrorizing Americans. Put nothing to do with any of the political events that are happening between bashing of the left and the right or countries such as Russia and China and Ukraine and so forth. They're the ones in control, but they're the ones bashing everybody and each other. Instead of, we don't pay them to do that. We pay them to secure our borders. And since 1993, when Bill Clinton came into office, the borders have been weak. He opened the ports and the Long Beach Naval Base to a communist nation, gave them great power to outsource all of our manufacturing and our jobs and our intellectual property and stamp everything made in China instead of made in America, where it was developed, created by an American. Not that we don't want other countries to succeed, because we do, but we don't want to be under the thumb and dependent on communist nations, especially when they're tyrannical and abuse their citizens and control their every move through artificial intelligence and track them on GPS and iPhones and computers and so forth. That's not freedom. That's tyranny.
And they all, the Democrats and the Rhinos, decided that burning down cities and terrorizing innocent people around the country was a peaceful protest, as mainstream media declared over and over and over again, while buildings were burning down behind them. Vehicles were being burned, and there was looting going on. And they call the conservatives who said, hey, that is not a peaceful protest, hello, misinformation, and ban you from Twitter and Facebook, mainstream media. Unbelievable. So Biden says, let's not abandon our streets or choose between safety and equal justice. We should all agree. Well, they tried to impeach President Trump at least 3 times, and they're trying it again to keep him from running for office in 2024. They've been trying to threaten him with all kinds of charges to send him to jail if they can figure it out. And anyone who's politically associated with him, big time. And they deny that there was fraud during the 2020 elections. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So how are you going to bring the country together now, right before the elections of 2022? So I don't think that's going to happen. Official data by WND, fully vaccinated people account for 9 of 10 COVID deaths. Now, here we go. We've been told misinformation since 2019 on these masks and these PCR swabs that they admit now are faulty. The fully vaccinated account for 9 of every 10 deaths from COVID-19 in England and 4 of 5 deaths among the triple vaccinated, according to the latest data published by the UK Health Security Agency. The independent British news site, The Exposé, reported the government report published February 22nd includes a table on page 41 confirming the vast majority of deaths were among the vaccinated. This is very, very sad because these are not vaccinations, as they keep calling them. They are emergency authorized experimental and trial injections. Is an experiment on humanity around the world using human beings as human lab rats under their microscope, or case studies with unknown consequences, unknown efficacy, but known potential serious direct adverse health effects that were published at a workshop by Dr. Fauci and the FDA in 2020 that lists heart attacks and strokes, paralysis, and Kawasaki disease, and death, and many, many more serious injuries. So why, with those serious injuries, coerce, threaten, and fearmonger in America and around the world that if you did not comply and risk your life and that of your children, that you will lose your job, you will be fired, and you will lose, of course, your home, your family, your assets. You will lose everything without a job and without an income, right? And even in Canada and Australia, they were saying that go into a grocery store and buy groceries. So how is this healthcare? If they're going to fire you from your job, destroy your life, starve you to death, make you homeless, impoverish you,
How is that health care? Because a quarantine usually lasts, which is rare to happen in America, 2 to 3 weeks, let's say. This was not a quarantine. It was a lockdown. It was taking Americans hostage and locking them down, and totalitarian, authoritarian dictators telling you that you had curfews of when you must be in your home and when you could leave, as if we had turned into their slaves and under their servitude of do as you're told or else be punished, like going to jail for not wearing a mask. There's no scientific evidence anywhere that a mask stops the virus. Dr. Fauci said it in the beginning. He said it was for theatrics, optics, and it makes people feel protected. Contain ethylene oxide, and the PCR swabs contain ethylene oxide. The developer said they were never intended to detect COVID, and then he passed away. And then the CDC admitted they were faulty. And so how did any of this help the American people stay healthy when they were locked in their homes, which is isolation that causes depression, especially for the elderly and children, because it is a felony to isolate elderly people and children in the United States of America. It's on the law books. And the emergency authorization for 90 days, and then the President of the United States must register it in the federal registry if he decides to continue the Emergency Authorization Act. But it has rarely been used, if ever, in the USA, and it is a 90-day Emergency Authorization Act, but it didn't include using human beings as human lab rats against their will under duress of losing their jobs and coercion and fear-mongering, because fear-mongering, coercion, and threats are what criminals do to their victims so they obey because they are in fear of being harmed, which is the same thing that happened with COVID. And fear causes duress, and duress causes emotional, physical, and financial distress. These are all crimes on the law books in the United States of America, and the Emergency Authorization Act excludes children under the age of 16. On that note, I want to say, I hope you do your homework. I hope you do your research. Read blogs at roseforjustice.com. And you can find me on gab.com and on MeWe.com and Pinterest, because I was exiled from, after 12 years, on Facebook and Twitter, and exiled on September 4th, 2021 for questioning the COVID cult agenda. And so that's where we're at in America, where Americans are controlled by technocracy, by Wall Street CEOs, just because they have a lot of money and believe that they are above the law and that they can use people as human lab rats, property, chattel, slaves, and enforce them into servitude while they rake in billions and billions of dollars and have no liability for death
and injuries. How does that make any sense to any American or any other person in the world? So God bless you. God bless America. Stay healthy. Stay happy. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me. But together we can make a positive difference. Remember, you're never alone when you tune in to Colombo Chronicles Live.
Rose Colombo is signing off and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.